From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is Cool Science Radio.
Science and technology that's accessible and entertaining.
If we can understand it, you can understand it.
I'm Lynn Ware Peake.
And I'm John Wells. The numbers are staggering. 1 year before COVID in January 2019, 11% of adults reported symptoms of anxiety disorder and or depressive order, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation. 2 years later, January 2021, the numbers have increased from 11% to 41% of adults reporting those same symptoms. Our next guest, Leah Harder, is the director of the Counseling Center at the Park City's Christian Center and will help us make sense of all this and also tell us about what's going on at her counseling center in Park City. Leah Harder, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here, and we've been looking forward to this conversation because it's such an important topic. You've been providing mental health services for over 20 years. How has your world changed since the COVID pandemic?
Wow, so many ways. The anxiety I've seen as a whole increase, just working with students and adults. When I first started 20 years ago, people weren't talking about anxiety. I mean, I think people just thought it was worry. I'm just a little worried and stuff. But then, of course, the last year and a half, the anxiety has skyrocketed with uncertainty because we just don't know so many things about the vaccine, what is happening with this COVID virus, so many uncertainties. And people being at home, the need for support mental health-wise has just dramatically increased.
And the people that are suffering, of course, have this anxiety, but the healthcare workers, such as you and your counselors, are also suffering with some stress because there are a number of people that make a number of telephone calls into counseling centers, and the recording says we are no longer accepting new patients. So you guys are working really hard and you're trying to juggle a lot of balls. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, we've seen a huge increase. We've got a counseling team of 17 on our team, and we just keep trying to hire more staff because there is such an increased demand. And I think even, the last few months, with things starting to open up and people getting their vaccines, I mean, there was probably hope. Oh, we're all going to be good. We're all moving forward. But in addition to that hope, there's still a lot of anxiety. We're getting calls just even yesterday. A woman in our community calling and truly distraught and afraid to seek help because of the stigma around mental illness and the workers that I've seen several nurses and doctors that were down, in the ICUs taking care of COVID patients, and they're traumatized. What they saw, was really rough. And I think as a caregiver, you can help for so long and you can hold on, but there's a toll. Eventually you've got your own personal stuff going on in your family, plus you're trying to take care of patients. So the need, I think we're going to continue to see this high mental health struggles here for the next couple of years as we kind of return back to what we thought was normal.
And Leah, I'm interested in knowing about the cycle of mental health in terms of, for those who are providing care for people who are going through this crisis, it seems like, everyone's in sort of a survival mode, right? Yeah. And you get through, and now that we have light at the end of the tunnel, it's almost like there's this thing coming to an end, and that's when the mental health challenges sort of crop up. Because we've been in survival mode, and I know this, I've read, research on, parents of children who have cancer, like while they're going through their treatments, they're kind of surviving. And then they get to the end of it when things should be looking up, and that's when the real breakdown happens.
Yeah, the feelings catch up later. I look at it developmentally, if you're familiar in psychology with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You at the beginning of a crisis, you just got to make sure we're eating healthy, we've got our basics, we have housing, we found our way for our kids to go to school. But the true emotion gets delayed. It's too much to process at the time. And so then after you've survived the hard part that was a physical challenge, the emotional feeling letdown comes. And that's why I think we're going to continue to see these high demand for support for the next few years. And my hope is that through all of this, you know, there's always been stigma around mental health, but I really hope that people can say everybody has struggled. Every person has struggled with depression. Every person at some point has struggled with anxiety, and you're normal, and there's nothing wrong with then seeking that support when you need it.
There are a few silver linings about COVID, and I do think that the destigmatization of mental health challenges is one of those things, as you say, because people are talking about it more and more. I'm seeing it, people posting openly about mental health and depression and anxiety, you know, on Facebook, which 5 years ago, you might not have seen that. No. And there is a collective, I see it in this community, there's a collective stress and anxiety that is surfacing. And I'm just wondering, for those people who think, yeah, that doesn't really apply to me, who may not have identified, well, the things that we need to identify if we're having mental health challenges, you know, what do you look out for?
So if someone's not identifying it, one, they may be really cognitive. They may just be super engineering types that are in their minds and they kind of compartmentalize their feelings. And that can work for you for a period of time. You can kind of push your feelings aside. But after a while, we start to see often those feelings leaking out in some unhealthy ways. We see people, you know, going to substances like alcohol to try to deal with their feelings. They don't realize that it's coming from a feeling place, but they're trying to cope. They're, you know, trying to check out a little bit, or maybe it's leaking out in their relationships with their partner. And we've seen a lot of marriage issues or roommate issues. There's leaking out in their relationships, their coworkers. And that's where the concern comes, you know, when it starts affecting your life and your relationships and your productivity, that's definitely a concern.
If you are just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we're having a conversation with Leah Harder. She's the director of the Counseling Center at Park City's Christian Center. I'm fascinated about the conversation we had earlier this morning, and also talked about the last couple of weeks about AlphaStim, this piece of technology that you use in conjunction with therapy sessions to help your clients. It's approved by the FDA. It seems to be pretty big in the UK. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, you know, we've had to really look creatively. When people come in with an issue, depression, anxiety, relationship issues, we want to hit it on all fronts. You know, we've got a team. We've got a psychiatric nurse practitioner. She can prescribe medications. We've got, you know, our eight therapists. We've got our health coach. And we have an Enneagram coach, too. And we want to provide collaborative, holistic services. And so something that we've started doing in the last couple of years is, while clients are in session, there is this little device called AlphaStim, which is basically like a TENS unit. If you've ever been to physical therapy, you might have put it on a muscle. This is a TENS unit that you put on your brain. And how you put it on, you actually wear these clips on your ears, earlobes, and it just sends the smallest electrical impulse, really tiny. And its effectiveness, research-wise, is for helping with depression, anxiety, and insomnia. It is. It brings up the alpha waves and helps your brain relax. And then it brings down the delta waves, which is, as you do that, will help you in better sleep. So it's something that clients can wear while they're in session with us. Some clients have liked it so much that they have purchased their own units, and they wear it all, you know, you can wear it doing everything. And it's a great support for people. And I've seen it and experienced myself just for kind of calming down and even for sleeping better at night.
And we've all seen technology introduced over the years that it takes a while before people start to embrace it. And this was actually introduced, according to something I'm reading now on the web, in 1981. But they have a chart here that shows the percentage of people reporting significant improvement, which they defined as greater than 25%. For anxiety, 90%. For depression, 87%. And for depression and anxiety together, 95% of the people report improvement of over 25%. So that's, those are dramatic numbers, mm-hmm. because I know a lot of people don't, are not affected by SSRIs or traditional medications and things. So is this something that you use when the medication's not working, or do you introduce this early in the relationship with the client?
You know, when people are sitting there, I'm like, I got this device. You want to try it? Because I think if you're struggling, if you're feeling a little nervous, why not try it? We have a lot of clients that are medication resistant. Like, they don't want to do medications. That's too much of a commitment. And we see a lot of people that have just adjustment disorder. They're just in a funk. Mm-hmm. And it's not a medical issue. They just need some extra support. And so they can use it, you know, even in the second session, I'll introduce it and they see how it feels. And if they feel more relaxed afterwards, they'll wear it the next time they come. So, and then it definitely can be used if you are on medication, you can also use it. I mean, it's, why not try something that can affect the electron level of your brain and rebalance it? The medications are helping you chemically, but this is going directly to the electrons and rebalancing your brain.
Yes, we often think of our bodies as more chemical and not as electrical. We know there are lots of electrical impulses that sort of make our heart beat, for example, but balancing the brain in this way, I'm not really familiar with the alpha waves and delta waves, but so as we're going to sleep at night and our brain's racing, I'm assuming that we've got the delta waves that are kind of going haywire, and what those need to do is to be brought down. And that's sort of what this STIM device does.
From what I understand, yeah, it's a balancing of your brain waves to get you to a more relaxed state.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I first read about this, that you were using this, of course, I'm sure everyone's thoughts go to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and shock therapy. And I know shock therapy is something that is used in therapy today, but it's something very different than what we're talking about here.
Oh, yeah. You know, to do ECT, which they do down at University of Utah, you know, you meet with clinicians. It's often used after medications have failed. You know, you go in and you're like, it has a full protocol. This extremely mild, you know, it's the tiniest microcurrent that, and as you're wearing the unit, you hardly know it's even there. It's super, it's millionths of an ampere of electrical. And mm-hmm. so that in and of itself is sufficient for rebalancing those waves.
So both John and I put this on in the green room ahead of the show. And it is a lot like what did you call it? Not a STEM machine, but a TENS.
Yes, TENS.
Machine where you turn it up and you start to feel the little pulses. But this one, I could feel the pulses just on one lobe and not on the other.
Okay.
And then we talked about how we each felt a little bit dizzy if we turned it up too high. So I just wanted to mention that because it kind of might give listeners an idea of sort of how it works.
Yeah, and you don't want to be dizzy when you're wearing it. You're going to turn it down, so you just kind of, it's there. The research, even on just even the smallest intensity, shows its effectiveness. But and as somebody wears it, they kind of get used to it and build up a tolerance, and then may use just a tiny more of the electrical intensity. But again, very mild, just a millionth of an ampere.
One of the things that concerned me about COVID was how quiet things started to get. And about a year ago, child and spousal abuse numbers were down compared to the year before. And that's because when our kids go to school, if they are abused, if they are hurt, we have neighbors that see them. We have school teachers that see them. You know, it takes a community, you know, that sort of thing. And now we're, you know, behind these Zoom cameras. And I suspect that the same could have happened for mental health issues, where people you know, are looking good on their Zoom meeting, but nobody's seeing this person in person. And they may be suffering, and they're at home, and they're not getting around. So that's probably one of the other challenges. And to your point about addictive behaviors being up, I remember going to, and I know everybody remembers this in Park City, going to the liquor store, and man, the long lines. I mean, I think people were really abusing alcohol, because you know, you go once and there's a big long line wrapped around, you know, the entire store on the inside. But if you go two or three times over the period of a couple of months, and that's the same every time, you know, it's giving you data that people are buying a lot of alcohol.
Yeah, that, and there's been several nurse articles come out even this last week about eating disorders. You know, being home and feeling out of control is like the worst scenario for eating disorders to creep up. And that's what we've seen. All the eating disorder treatment programs are totally full right now because people were home. They didn't know what was happening in life. The one thing they could control was their eating. And so that, of course, leads to bigger problems.
Leah, I heard of a new model that that is starting to gain some acceptance for providing mental health services, and that is the therapist that does not take a client on and go long and deep, but is only there for two or three sessions to see if they can help. And that way, therapists are available to all these people that are calling in. And, you know, instead of getting a message saying we're not accepting clients, saying, well, we can talk to you. It's a maximum of four sessions, and then we figure out where you can go from there. Is that a model that is starting to gain acceptance?
Absolutely. I think what you're talking about is what's called an employee assistance program, EAP. And I know, like at the Christian Center, our staff, we're with Select Health, and we just got added this benefit that we can do four free visits with an employee assistance program therapist. And they're virtual, so it's on your computer, and you can just kind of talk about what's going on. If the therapist thinks, you know, this is more than just a few sessions, we recommend that you do some more work. They can help you find somebody. But yeah, I think it's just wise for all of us to have someone to talk to outside of our circle of family and friends. We're all so close to it. It's like, I can't provide therapy for my family. It's good for all of us to talk to someone neutral outside of it. And those employee assistance programs, the type of therapy is called solution-focused therapy, and can be very effective for just, you know, someone to talk to, evaluate, kind of see how things are going and give you a little extra support.
I want to go back to the STEM, the Alpha STEM machine a little bit. And you
mentioned, I think she liked that.
I think she does.
Well, I have to say that I'm pretty interested in this because I don't really take medications, but I've started to take, you know, a hormone replacement. And then at night I'll take like a melatonin or maybe a
vodka.
Yeah, or maybe a vodka. And I have started to, and I think a lot of people have done this, where they don't want to take things, put things in their body. And I know we have to if we're suffering from depression or, you know, any number of other afflictions. However, people are using meditation podcasts. Yep. They put in their little AirPods. This is my new thing. So, and it really helps. And I love being able to declutter my mind by listening to something. And so I'm on board with this Alpha STEM thing because it's a, something else that you're not putting inside your body, but it's affecting, as you say, your brain waves. So is there any case in which you can't use this because it's going to somehow interact with medications you're taking?
No, there's not any, you know, you can't use it in any certain cases. The only thing is you just don't want to wear it when you're driving. You know, but I think it's non-invasive. It's not,
yes,
you know, a pill that you're taking. You can try it for 20 minutes, and if you don't like it, you can take it off. You know, I think that's really appealing for people. And then you can purchase the unit. You do have to purchase the unit through a doctor's office or through our counseling center. We've had like the physical therapy department at Intermountain Hospital got a unit through us. Dentist's offices have gotten units to put on anxious people going to get their teeth, you know, having procedures. A veterinary clinic, they were really worried about their staff being super stressed, and so they got a unit through us. And something that, you know, an employee could get to just help all their employees wear it for an hour a day while you're doing your work. Or that if we've had some people that wanted to have it at home and wear it every night before bed, that you could purchase a unit yourself. So you do need to get it through a clinician's office or a doctor's office. You can't just go online and order the Alpha Stem units.
Going to the dentist, what a great application of this. Yeah. I'm calling my dentist. You know, when you were kids, you'd go in to get a cavity filled. Maybe it was just my dentist, but they would just put on the happy gas without question. And now I don't ever ask for it because it makes me feel like I'm, you know, a druggie or something. But I really would like it. It's the only time in my life I experience extreme stress.
Yeah.
And this sounds like a great thing to ask for, an Alpha Stem.
Yeah. I think, for practices around here, I mean, everybody's got some nervousness and root canals and all of that. So, you know, to have a unit to wear would be amazing.
And there's some more good news as well. $155 million has just been allocated through private donations and also through the budget at the state of Utah for a new integrated mental health research center near the University of the Utah campus. And a couple days ago, I received an email from Summit County that was talking about the Utah State of Mind technology and mental health that's now being deployed. And they talk about a number of things, including this magnetic resonance stimulation product. So there's other products that are coming out that are providing relief. And I think probably the most positive thing that I can think of is that all the nonprofits in Park City talk to each other and they share information to make sure that nobody falls through the cracks, to make sure that everybody's getting what they're needing, if it's a food insecurity, or if it's paying rent and utilities and getting some help there, or if it's someone that needs some mental health services. It's great the way you all communicate.
We're doing the best we can with it. Yeah, just even on Monday, I was over at the new Children's Justice Center that is open, you know, and what they're doing. And we need to work together as a team. We're a small town. We can't do it all. You know, the Christian Center, our counseling center cannot do it all. We've got to use our resources. And so, you know, working together as teams is, to me, the only way to help our community and provide good care, which I think Park City, the improvement in the last few years has been tremendous, thanks to Connect and these organizations working together.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you just take a minute and tell us about the different types of counseling that you provide? I know you do couples counseling and all sorts of things.
Yeah, so with our 10 clinicians, two of them are psychologists. One of them named Claire Camp is Spanish-speaking. She's bilingual. And so she seems most of her clients are, solely speaking Spanish. So that's a huge need in our community. There's not very many bilingual therapists, and we're trying to recruit more, but it's hard to find those. We do have clinicians that work with kids, teens, adults. We see a lot of trauma, whether it be the trauma of getting through COVID. I mean, that is traumatic for a lot of people, or other traumas, car accidents to, neglect growing up. And so we're trained in a type of therapy called EMDR, and that has been really helpful, especially through this pandemic, to help people.
What does that stand for?
EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And a lot of it is kind of like what you were mentioning about calming tools, you know, finding ways to regulate your emotions. How do I relax myself in a healthy way using meditative type of relaxing tools? And then we can set up, things that have been traumatic or even scenarios that where there's anxiety, and we can use this approach to therapy and see amazing results. It's all research shown, and we see it every day, the effectiveness of EMDR. We also use cognitive behavioral therapy, which is looking at your thoughts and trying to change those. With our, we have a play therapy room. We'll bring the kids in, do sand tray with them. Teens, we try to do a lot of interactive, you know, games. We just finished this spring a group of teens that were coming in to do a resilience group. So we're trying to creatively find ways. If you can't get in for individual therapy, maybe a creative way to do some group therapy.
Yes. Well, so many wonderful things. I wanted to ask you a little bit more about EMDR, but I don't think we have time. So I just wanted to ask a follow-up question on, you talked about staffing and how you're constantly adding therapists. And I believe I've seen, if not at the Christian Center, several other organizations around town looking for therapists. Are you looking for therapists if you wanted to do a job announcement?
always looking for therapists. Yeah, there's a shortage and across the board. Tons of people are trying to hire because we need more help.
Leah, for folks after hours, late at night, they need to talk to somebody. They need to get some help. Is there a hotline number that you would recommend?
Yeah, there is. In fact, probably the easiest way to find out is go to the Connect website, and there is a number that you can call 24/7 to talk to somebody live. I think that is key. You know, sometimes you feel low at times of the day where you can't get a hold of an office. And so going to the main line to talk to someone live all times is super helpful.
Yeah. Well, excellent. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Leah Harder is the director of the Counseling Center at Park City's Christian Center. We want to thank you so much for joining us this morning and continued success with all the programs you have at the Christian Center.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks, Leah. Thanks for tuning in to Cool Science Radio.
If you enjoyed this episode, please rate us, give us a 5, and leave us a comment.
Take us along on your next adventure to the moon.
If you have any story ideas, please let us know at coolscienceradio@kpcw.org.
Thanks for listening, and hey, tune in next week.